Hey, everybody. Welcome to fucking Flash Ride. Paul's sick. He's sad. Look at him.
What are you going to bring it up, TJ?
You know what's the first thing we're going to bring up?
Oh, God. Just look at him.
Damn, TJ, come
on. Poor Paul.
If I had a burka, I'd put it on today.
I know, right?
I'd wear a fucking burka. Can you grab me a sheet and I can put a sheet over my head?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, do it. I swear to God, I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I'll do the whole show with a sheet over my head.
Please don't pick a white sheet.
Yeah, don't do a white sheet. That's a bad look.
Yeah, don't pick a white sheet.
I don't think TJ has any white sheets. He's edgy. He's got red and black sheets.
If you think about it, I mean, a white sheet, you know, I mean, something like TJ is kind of, oh, you know, shit, that shit would be bad. Like, I was like, you busted a nut, that ain't going to show up, but, like, his, like, grease and his, like, all his grime, that shit's going to be yellow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, dude, like, I looked at my mattress under a black light, dude, and you don't realize how fucking disgusting you are until you do some shit.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Dude. No, you have to, like, wash your bedding, like, once a week at least, because it's like your body just leaks all kinds of fluids and shit while you're sleeping. It's fucking disgusting.
No, I mean, I even have a mattress protector. I don't even have one of those like crazy plastic ones, which I guess I need to get, because when you have fucking pets, they like to fucking piss on your bed.
It is blue,
dude. That's a wonderful sheet.
It's a wonderful sheet.
Does it? It's a high thread count sheet.
Oh, feels smooth.
Dude, this is perfect. And I'll just leave my eyes out.
I love it, dude.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's do that. Let the glasses kind of hold it open.
This is the part of Paulie's fine with people saying.
Oh, yeah. No, this is my new look.
This is your new look, dude. Paul's like in a burka, dude.
This feels great.
It's very Virgin Mary-ish.
Yeah. This feels wonderful, man. Why haven't I done this before?
But it's kind of pointless since we're not really on camera too much.
This isn't for them.
Show.
This is for me.
This is just
for Paul's comfort, dude.
This is for me to feel good.
Paul feels like he's back in the womb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. George Zimmerman sues Warren Buttigieg for $265 million, accuses him of attempting to garner black votes by defaming him.
I said when I first saw the story and you were showing me all the stories, but like, where do people come up with these numbers? Like, I mean, I get it's like it's a lot of money, but why is it $265 million specifically?
He's also suing Trayvon Martin's family for $100
million. Oh, $100 million from that, right?
Dude, why won't Zimzam just go away?
I think that he's just he must on some level like his fame, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Even though it's like he's infamous. I guess a lot of fucking conservatives like him. Like, yeah, the way you shot that black kid, c'est magnifique.
If I was this dude, I would be doing the opposite of this. I would be I would change my name, I'd get plastic surgery and just disappear into the morass of America. I don't understand this.
George Zimmerman, the one-time neighborhood watch volunteer who was acquitted in the 2012 shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Florida, is suing Senator Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Pete Buttigieg for $265 million, claiming both 2020 presidential Democratic candidates defamed him in an attempt to garner votes in the black community. The lawsuit, filed in Polk County, Florida, Tuesday, argues Warren and Buttigieg's two separate tweets on February 5th, which would have been Martin's 25th birthday, used the killing as a pretext to demagogue and falsely brand Zimmerman as a white supremacist and racist to their millions of Twitter followers. I think people pretty much already have their opinions of George Zimmerman.
Yeah, wasn't there a whole big
head.
Media spectacle? I mean,
right.
Surrounding his trial and everything else. It's like, it went on for like years. It wasn't like...
So I'm pretty sure people have already come to the conclusion one way or the other. Either they're like, he's fine, what he done was right, or they're like, he's a racist murderer. Yeah. And there's really not much in between.
So here's the tweet. Trayvon Martin would have been 25 today. How many 25th birthdays have been stolen from us by white supremacy, gun violence, prejudice, and fear? # Black Lives Matter.
Dude, okay. I got to be honest
with
you,
though. He's not white, though.
Yeah. Well, no, they were talking about Trayvon. Well, I don't know, dude. Buttigieg is really desperate for some black support. So Zimmerman's got a point there.
Yeah. I mean, well, Buttigieg has zero black support. Scotty, you were telling me the other day about the debacle of Buttigieg's firing of the city's first black police chief.
Yeah. That comes up in a recent episode, so we're just going to...
Okay, I guess we'll talk about it then.
We'll talk about it then.
My heart goes out to Sabrina... this is, I guess, the other tweet. Wait, is this the other tweet? This is Warren's tweet. My heart goes out to Sabrina Fulton and Trayvon's family and friends. He should still be with us today. We need to end gun violence and racism. And we need to build a world where all our children, especially young black boys, can grow up safe and free.
Why especially?
Especially them.
Why especially young black boys? Why not everybody?
No, especially them.
Especially.
Paul. So they should be especially safe.
Yeah. They should be.
Got it.
Because right now they're more in danger than everyone else, so we have to overcorrect and make sure that they're in less danger than everybody else.
They're especially safe.
I think we need to just keep. We need a fucking federal program to keep all black youth in safety bubbles.
Yeah, TJ, you know we got one. It's called prison.
That's not a safety bubble.
That's
a danger bubble.
I just had the most racist thought, and I'm so glad I didn't. I'm not even going to say it.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it shouldn't be especially anyone. It should be like people, an ideal world would be no one faces these things, not just one group faces it even less. Like, just nobody has to face violence.
Look, I don't like Buttigieg, and I don't like Warren, but I don't think they did anything here that amounts to lawsuit levels.
You might feel differently if you were George Zimmerman.
Well, apparently I would, because George Zimmerman does feel differently.
I don't think he's got a case under U.S. law. I think this is just a media attention thing. Because, I mean, obviously he has the right to file a lawsuit, but is he going to win this lawsuit? No. The burden of proof, he's going to prove, like, so many things to prove defamation, which he's not going to prove based on a couple tweets.
I mean, if the tweet was worded like, horrible, racist, white supremacist piece of shit, George Zimmerman should be hung in the streets.
Yeah, that's different.
You know what I mean? But
it doesn't even mention him by name.
Bringing
obviously,
up a giant news story like this is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was a national news story. Obviously, people already have their feelings about it one way or the other. And I don't even think, even if they did call him out by name, I still don't think he would have a case.
Probably not.
I mean, the defamation laws are really, really fucking hard. It's really hard to prove defamation in the U.S. fucking system.
Well, as they should be, because they could be used to chill free speech, you know what I mean?
Right, and because we're such a robustly free speech-oriented country, or at least, you know, on paper we
pretend
are,
to be,
you know. It's hard to do these kind of lawsuits, and I mean he's going to lose both these lawsuits. They're not even gonna, I mean, they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, they're going to be dismissed.
But you know it's just another. I mean, this guy just loves to grab headlines at this point. So,
one thing he does, like anytime he does something big like this, he knows he's going to get fucking press. So it's an easy win for him. He probably lives off donations and other fucking conservative people going, hey, you know, you were the one that killed the black kid. It's like. When you're famous for that, I guess this is all you've got, in a sense.
Poll. Sanders now leading 2020 Democrats by 15 points.
My margins are going to be huge.
Progressive Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont has jumped out to a double-digit lead over the rest of the 2020 Democratic primary field, appearing to cement his position as the frontrunner to win the party's presidential nomination, according to ABC News Washington Post poll. The survey found that 32% of Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents favor Sanders, an 8-point increase from a similar poll conducted last month. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joe Biden's support dropped 11 points to 17%.
Biden's just collapsing.
Yeah, giving Sanders a 15-point lead against his nearest competitor. The 15-point margin is nearly double Biden's biggest lead in the ABC News Washington Post survey during the 2020 cycle.
Who is his nearest competitor now?
Bloomberg.
TJ. TJ, this story is false.
Yeah.
The story is false.
Well, according to this one, actually, Bloomberg's in third. But Bloomberg is ascendant. Biden is in decline.
Excuse me, TJ.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
The story you pulled, can I see the headline?
Yeah.
This headline is false.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
TJ, if you compare the moderates of the Democratic Party versus Sanders, the moderates are beating him.
Oh, okay.
So if you take every moderate candidate and you put them against Bernie and take their percentage of supporters, TJ, it's actually greater
right.
than his support. So this is actually this article
combine
is false.
Them into one super yeah. moderate.
If you combine the super centrist,
I am mega moderate.
Yeah. Then the moderates are leading, TJ.
Wow.
I am Clo Booty Judge.
I've literally seen those articles though. That's why I'm saying that. I've literally seen articles like that, like the moderates versus. It's like. Come on, guys. Like, Bernie Sanders has to run against everyone, sure, but he can't run against them, and then you add up their vote totals. I mean, why? That's not how the election works.
Bow
come on.
Before Clo Biden, Judge.
Clo Biden Judgeberg
rules all.
Look how much money my campaign can spend to promote this.
Woo, speaking of that, Bloomberg to go face-to-face against rivals after Ad Blitz. So the debate tonight, for those of you wondering if we're going to cover it, no.
Thank
we're sitting this one out.
Hallelujah.
We're gonna come Paul's, back and cover yeah. another one, but
Paul's fucking sick. We got a lot of shit going on here. Can't do this one.
Not doing this.
Sorry.
One. For Mike Bloomberg, the one-way conversation with Democratic voters is about to end by spending more than $400 million of his own money and largely bypassing his opponents by skipping the early primary states. Bloomberg has rocketed to double-digit support in enough national polls to qualify for both Wednesday night's Nevada debate, that's tonight, and next week's debate in South Carolina. We might cover that one. It's kind of depend.
Question?
Yes.
What about the thing with like the number of small donations had to be there?
That's been gotten rid of.
Oh, that's been gotten rid of. Okay. So the
that's
whole
not
thing,
a thing anymore.
So due to a donation, right? To the
yeah,
DNC.
there was a donation made to the DNC by this dude, Mike Bloomberg, who asked that the rules be changed. Hey, wait a minute. Is that the same Mike Bloomberg?
Hey, what the fuck?
But as Bloomberg's support has risen, so has the criticism from his Democratic foes, as well as the broader scrutiny of his past comments and record as New York City mayor. As he faces his rivals on stage for the first time, they've made it clear they're eager to take him on. On Tuesday, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren offered a preview of one line of attack the billionaire can expect to face, face-to-face. It's a shame Mike Bloomberg can buy his way into the debate, she tweeted, but at least now primary voters curious about how each candidate will take on Donald Trump can get a live demonstration of how we each take on an egomaniac billionaire.
Damn. She's roasting him.
That's true. There is a little bit of a, I mean, like, look, he is Trump.
Is she going to bust that out tonight?
Bernie has been attacking Bloomberg like crazy too. So this is not like they're basically like all the, especially the progressive wing of the fucking Democratic Party is really going after Bloomberg.
Why didn't Steyer get this level of venom? Because he did the same thing, basically.
Steyer, you know, I don't know.
I don't think anyone saw Steyer as much of a threat, to be honest.
People are just like, ah, Steyer.
It's Steyer.
But Bloomberg, you know, he's actually, I mean, they both spent a tremendous amount of money on advertising, but Bloomberg's actually seems to be working, so that's probably why he's getting the animus.
Well, Bloomberg also comes from a media background, too.
Yeah, I mean,
so
he understands newspapers.
He understands that beast a lot better than someone like Tom Steyer does.
So I mean, like, this is a guy who, I mean, he was the engineer of the stop and frisk policy that, to me, I mean, it violates the Fourth Amendment completely and utterly.
He repudiated that, though, TJ.
Oh yeah,
he changed his mind.
And a year ago,
and it's
he
widely known
his
to
mind.
Be a racist policy.
Right. Well, it's not the way it's written is not necessarily racist. Although I think it is unconstitutional.
The way it's enforced.
The way it was enforced was racist. And you know, Bloomberg has, you know, he's on tape being like, you know, well, yeah, I mean, all the crimes, minorities commit all the crimes, so yeah, you got to do that. And he's also shit talked farmers, saying that, you know, what they do is easy and it's basically just brain dead, stupid fuck work.
Of course.
Awesome.
Which is really easy to fucking say when you're
a rich
fucking billionaire.
Yeah, as you eat your fucking expensive ass shit that someone grew for you. Oh, this is nothing. A child can do this.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee if there was a Bloomberg farm, it wouldn't produce shit.
What is this shit he's standing
bullshit.
In front of? Why is there a bunch of, like,
fucking
whiskey barrels
that's
with this
a, that's
shit
the,
all
those
over?
Those are the barrels of the whiskey you'd have to get drunk on to vote for Bloomberg.
What is this?
But he's been caught. I mean, and there's, like, 60-something sexual assault allegations again. I mean, it's just, like, he's just Trump.
He's Trump.
He's
yeah.
Trump. I mean, he's just Trump, but as a I'm a Democrat.
He's rich. He's a richer Trump, dude. He's Trump with more money. Like, our country, you know what happened, TJ?
I've seen some of these establishment Democrats, by the way, putting like, well, you know, that's why we got to vote for Bloomberg, because he's richer than Trump. It's like, oh, my God. So you just, yeah, we just need an out and out plutocracy. Yeah, that sounds great. Just look, whoever has the most money rules the land. Cool. Sounds
look,
great.
TJ, we didn't go rich enough the first time. Trump, it's like, His billions are they're kind of called into question. There's people that believe Trump can be worth as little as $300 million.
Right. But
Bloomberg unquestionably is a fucking mega rich billionaire.
I mean, he's already spent more than $300 million just on ads.
Yeah, you know what? I'll run for president. Yeah, $400 million. Yeah, here you go.
So another question is, This is InThesetimes.com asks, at what point does Bloomberg's unprecedented ad spending amount to bribery of the media?
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, he has spent more. I mean, we'll do. There's like some comparison numbers here. In 2016, for example, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders' campaign spent reported $73.7 million on TV ads, while Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton spent $62.6 million. Republican candidates Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush spent $72 million and $66.9 million, respectively. Yet these numbers are a mere sliver of Bloomberg's total.
That's like $260 million.
Bloomberg's expenditures aren't just astronomical, they're unprecedented, amounting to what many critics have called an act of grand-scale bribery in pursuit of the world's most powerful political position. So basically, the idea here is Bloomberg is pumping so much advertising money into these media companies that, of course, they're going to have a vested interest in making their coverage pro-Bloomberg.
Because he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, because it's like, oh my God, we're getting so much money off this guy. He's just pumping money into, like,
all he has to say is, I'm going to pull my ads from you and put them elsewhere.
Right. And at a time when a lot of these companies are failing and they're not doing as well as they used to, they got to increase competition from the internet and so on and so forth.
Well, all the money's gone to Facebook and Google.
Right. And so it's basically like, hey, here's gigantic sums of ad money, unprecedented amounts of ad money.
Oh, my fucking God. This guy, I just had to look it up. This guy's 78 years old.
Oh, he's the same age as Bernie Sanders.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So that's another thing that's kind of fun, is that he actually undercuts a lot of the arguments that were made against Bernie Sanders by the mainstream Democrats. It's like, oh, well, Bernie Sanders is too old. Well, Bloomberg's the same age. Well, Bernie Sanders had a heart attack. Well, so did Bloomberg. He had a heart attack in 2000. So, I mean, like... actually undercuts a shit ton of their arguments against Bernie Sanders. If they're willing to accept this, then there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to accept that.
Because one's not a billionaire.
Bloomberg has also been putting out these ads where he's making it sound in the ad like Obama endorsed him, which never happened.
I love fucking...
So a lot of people...
Gotta love Bloomberg.
And Obama is not coming out to correct it or anything. So people are just like, yeah, Obama endorsed Bloomberg. Even though that never happened.
Why wouldn't Obama just make a statement and say it never happened?
Man, thank you, Citizens United, dude. Thank you for that wonderful decision that allows billionaires to pump unlimited amounts of money into their own campaigns and through super PACs and through every other means possible.
I love the name of Citizens United, too. It's got such a fucking opposite name.
Yeah, I know.
Yay. It's
for the
citizens.
People.
This is a bill for the people.
Campaign finance reform. We don't need that. Corporations are people. They can do whatever they want.
It's like taking a law that puts people into concentration camps and calling it the Happy Families Act or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what they always do.
Yeah, the Family Bonding Act.
So one of the things that the Bloomberg campaign is trying to do to scare voters into supporting him is a warning that... Bernie Sanders, if we don't stop him now, he may become unstoppable, which to me, that sounds like a good thing. But Mike Bloomberg's campaign is sounding the alarm that Bernie Sanders will soon amass an unsurmountable delegate lead if the Democratic field stays split, and took the extraordinary step of suggesting laggards should drop out. Kevin Sheekey, Bloomberg's top strategist, said, "The fact is, if the state of this race remains status quo with Biden, Pete, and Amy in the race on Super Tuesday, Bernie is likely to open up a delegate lead that seems nearly impossible to overcome."
You know who else they really said this kind of shit about, too? It's when Hillary was running, man. It was, Bernie just needs to drop out so we can ensure that I just get everything that I need. So now let's do the same for Bloomberg. You know what's interesting is how they've talked about Hillary as a possible VP pick for Bloomberg. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
I've heard the skull.
Well, Hillary has come out and said that she's not going to do it. Of course, who cares? I mean, she lies all the time.
You think if fucking Hillary has a chance at power, she's going to go, nah, I don't know, maybe so, but it seems far-fetched.
So, that's what's going on right now in the Democratic race. It's shaping up to be Bernie Sanders versus Bloomberg.
Well,
the late entry into the contest, because, I mean... Warren has seen her. I mean, we'll take a look at the state of the race actually right here. So actually, the most likely outcome right now is that no one has enough delegates and it goes to a contested convention, which if that happens, that's going to be a fucking disaster. I mean, that's going to be like, however that plays out, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really fucking nasty. You're going to see.
It's going to be a shit show for sure.
I mean, they're going to, because I mean, like, it's obvious that if it goes to a contested convention and Bernie Sanders has the most actual votes, you're going to see a tremendous outpouring of Sanders' very fucking mobile supporters coming out and demanding that he be given the nomination, which is the last thing the Democratic Party wants to do. So they're going to be trying really hard to anoint one of these other people, you know, the nominee of the party with, you know, their super delegate kind of rigging of the process. Try to give it to Biden or Bloomberg or Buttigieg. Why are there so many B names in this?
B, 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 B.
You know, this no one candidate is somebody that I could get behind.
Yeah. No one for president. I like it.
I like this candidate.
Yeah, he's got all the right policy positions.
What do you mean he?
Well, you know, it.
They.
They.
No one is leading, too. I mean, you can't deny the appeal of no one.
I mean, look, no one is fucking, he's taken off in the polls, or it's taken off in the polls, they're taken off in the polls, however, whatever pronoun you want to use.
Furthermore, TJ, no one has received no funding from super PACs, billionaires, or actually anyone. No one has funded anything for no one.
No one's winning this race without even having spent a dollar.
Name one destructive position that no one has taken.
That's
Name
true.
One controversial position that no one has taken.
He's a controversy-free candidate.
Yep.
Nothing. I mean, he hasn't done shit. I keep saying he. It's just easier for me to say he. But
wow, TJ. That's how you treat pronouns, buddy.
That's true.
But everything by default is male.
This yeah. This though is something to definitely keep your eye on because, like I said, this could be a real spectacle. Probably not in the way.
I think no matter how this election season turns out, a spectacle is pretty much assured.
Yeah, we're guaranteed a spectacle.
There's going to be some fuckery. There's going to be some super delegate shenanigans. There's going to be some shit. But make no bones about it, this contested convention is exactly what the DNC wants. They want to stop Sanders in any way that they can, and the contested convention gives them the avenue to do that. So
let's move on from politics. Researchers find a Western-style diet can impair brain function.
We're all fucked, dude.
After a week on a high-fat, high-added sugar diet, volunteers scored worse on memory tests.
Yeah, I fail to see how that's a bad thing, though. Who wants to remember shit?
Right.
Like, I'm trying to forget. So you're telling me I should just keep my high-fat, high-sugar diet?
Yeah.
Sick.
It's helping you out. Consuming a Western diet for as little as 1 week can subtly impair brain function and encourage slim and otherwise healthy young people to overeat, scientists claim. Researchers found that after 7 days on a high-fat, high-added sugar diet, volunteers in their 20s scored worse on memory tests and found junk food more desirable immediately after they had finished a meal. The findings suggest that a Western diet makes it harder for people to regulate their appetite and points to disruption in a brain region called the hippocampus as a possible cause.
Hippo.
Hippo. I like it. Hippocampus. That's where the hungry, hungry hippos went to college. After a week on a Western-style diet.
That's a joke, dude. That's just... I made some horrible jokes on the show, but...
That one was pretty bad.
It was a masterpiece. What are you talking about?
What? All right, never mind.
After a week on a Western-style diet, blame my fast food diet, Scotty.
I guess I can.
I ate too much American food, and now my sense of humor is lame and corny. After a week on a Western-style diet, palatable foods such as snacks and chocolate became more desirable when you are full.
I mean, what are they telling us here that we don't already know? So you're telling me when you get to eat a bunch of good, tasty, delicious, sweet, fatty food...
You want it more.
That you want it more than if you're just sitting and eating fucking raw broccoli all goddamn day like a rabbit or something. Of course. Of course, when you eat a waffle sprinkled with fucking powdered sugar, you want another one.
Yeah, I mean...
What are they telling us here? They needed to do a study for this? I could have told them this.
You know, I think it's just trying to better understand why people do this. You know what I mean? And I think it's just trying to explain that.
Because it's fucking delicious.
And I mean, yeah, but I think we know the reasons, you know, as far as that. Well, I think there's obviously multiple reasons. People have emotional reasons they eat. Obviously, when you get a taste for a certain kind of food, you eat it more.
I want to know about the memory thing. All right. In the longer term, eating a Western-style diet contributes to obesity and diabetes. No shit. Both of which have been linked to declines in brain performance and the risk of developing dementia.
Oh, boy.
Cool. I'm looking forward to my dementia. I don't know about you guys.
I'm already in the midst of mine, I think.
That's good.
I ate too many sugary waffles.
Yeah, I do have a different cause for my memory problems, but...
NHS staff can refuse to treat racist or sexist patients under new rules.
Or if someone's dying and they say something racist or sexist...
Then they can just let them die.
We refuse.
Let's see. Sexist and racist patients could be barred from non-emergency care.
Okay, so it's non-emergency.
Under new rules enforced from April. Currently, staff can refuse to treat non-critical patients who are verbally aggressive or physically violent.
Well, that
them.
Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I mean, sure. But these protections will extend to any harassment, bullying, or discrimination, including homophobic, sexist, or racist remarks. Health Secretary Matt Hancock wrote to all NHS staff on Tuesday to announce stronger measures to investigate abuse and harassment towards staff, saying no act of violence or abuse is minor. Being assaulted or abused is not part of the job, he said. Far too often I hear stories that people you are trying to help lash out. I've seen it for myself in A&Es, on night shifts, and on ambulances. Mr. Hancock said he was horrified that any member of the public would abuse or physically assault a member of our NHS staff, but it happens too often.
Oh, dude, it does. It happens over here a lot, too. I mean, a lot of these times, obviously in healthcare crisis, you know, family members get upset that someone's dying or sick. You have people that are... you know, on drugs. I mean, hospitals kind of become a catch-all for a lot of society's problems, so you get a lot of violence and assaults on doctors, patients, I mean, just everyone involved in the system.
Yeah, but I mean, the violence, obviously, you shouldn't have to treat someone who's, like, a physical fucking threat to you.
Of course. Or, you know, I mean, but how do you feel someone makes a racist comment? Do you think that you know...
I mean, you're pretty... If you're fucking trying to get care off of, you know, a black doctor or an Indian doctor or something, and you're sitting there making racist remarks, you're kind of an idiot at that point, right?
Well, I guess it depends. What if you weren't even necessarily being racist towards them, but you just said something that was racist?
I mean, I don't know.
Or sexist, or it could be interpreted that way.
I mean, I don't know if it's like, oh, hey, you're, like, let's say fucking, you're some provocateur or some shit that's known for making such remarks. Like, would that qualify as, like, we don't have to provide medical care to you? Or is it just, like, if you say something
to
in that moment, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, yeah, if it's,
like, if you're just, like, a known racist, but you're not saying anything racist at that moment, can they refuse to treat you just because they don't like you? I mean, it seems like, you know, if you have a government... healthcare system like NHS, like everybody who's a citizen is paying into that. So,
yeah,
I don't know that, you know, you having political or, you know, whatever beliefs that, you know, people disagree with is necessarily a reason to withhold care. Now, obviously, it says here that they can only do it for non-emergency care, but I mean, you know, part of how non-emergency care becomes an emergency is not getting treatment. So. I don't know. It seems like this is more about, you know, someone is here and they're being, like, racially abusive towards staff or something like that. It seems like it's more about protecting staff than just saying, you know, if you don't meet these ideological purity guidelines, then you're not fit for, you know, medical care.
This just goes to show you that human beings can't be helped, dude. Yeah, you're trying to get over here and ease my suffering, you dumb spick.
No.
It's like, what?
In the U.S., we don't have any laws like this, so, or rules. I mean, yeah. I mean, you'd probably be kicked out, but there's not any, I guess, codified rule.
Get over here and make me well, you spick piece of shit.
Come wash my ass, you dumb wetback. It's like, come on.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. These rules were announced with the release of the 2019 NHS staff survey for England, which showed more than a quarter of NHS workers were bullied, harassed, or abused in 1 year. 4 in 10 workers felt unwell due to work-related stress. About 1 in 7 of the 569,000 staff surveyed reported being physically attacked, up slightly on the year before.
500,000?
Yeah,
I told you, dude. It's
half a million people.
1 in 7.
It is super common.
You know, the nearly 600,000.
It's time to prune the tree of liberty once again, I think. 500,000 people assault people that are trying to help them.
Well, it's 1 in 7 of 600,000, which means probably about, it's a little under 100,000 people done these assaults on people trying to help them. The poll found staff at ambulance, mental health, and learning disability trusts were worst affected by abuse and violence.
Of course.
So I mean, when it comes to, like, mental health, I mean, like, you know, a lot of times people are not in their right mind, obviously.
That's a major question here, too, is a lot of these people are probably mentally ill.
On drugs.
You can't really hold them responsible for what they're doing in the moment, if that's the case.
Yeah, but it seems like, you know, so there's a lot of questions about this policy that I think need to be answered or addressed. But, you know.
Go down.
Okay.
It says, more than half the people with mental health problems in England all said their treatment was delayed, while 42% said they were diagnosed too late. So, it says a separate, I should read the one above it. A separate survey published by the Parliamentary and Health Service Ombudsman
found that 1 in 5 mental health patients do not feel safe in NHS care.
Well, that's interesting.
So there seems to be like this mutual sort of animosity going on between patients and doctors. I don't know why there's like
sign.
This violent mistrust going on.
But you know what, guys? It's in the UK, so we ain't got to worry about it.
It's a super positive sign for the future.
Oh, yeah. They held up a Clearwater CVS, then a trail of pill bottles led cops to their door, police say.
Florida men.
The robbers made off with garbage bags full of opioid pills. Worth about $320,000, then tossed empty bottles out of the window. So these three men, they held up a Clearwater CVS on New Year's Day. They planned their moves meticulously. The robbers hit at 5 a.m. They wore blue surgical gloves so they wouldn't leave prints. They waved guns at employees and bound several of them with zip ties. Detectives would later review store surveillance. A video that showed one of the suspects casing the place the day before. They made off with a boatload of drugs and white garbage bags, more than 10,000 pills, that contained opioids, hydrocodone, and oxycodone. An estimated street value of about $320,000, according to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. But as detectives investigated the area around the store located at, you know, whatever, they started noticing pill bottles. According to an arrest warrant, the robbers, it appeared, had emptied their bottles as they made their getaway, then tossed them out the car window. Detectives started following the pill bottles like breadcrumbs, eventually leading to a house at 1045 West Avenue. There, they found the same white Chrysler 200 that had been recorded on surveillance camera fleeing the scene. White cotton and pill bottle cap lay on the ground nearby.
So they were literally throwing it out as they pulled into their driveway.
Yeah.
Did they want to get caught?
So these guys are literally, they're dumping the pills. They don't decide, like, let's get home and then we'll fucking get these pills out of their bottles. And, you know, they're just like, they're doing it on the fucking fly as they're making their getaway and just throwing the bottles out like literally a trail of breadcrumbs for the police to follow. I mean, they went through such bullshit to get, you know, to fucking stage this robbery. You know, they wearing gloves to make sure they don't leave fingerprints. You know, casing the joint, making sure they got the perfect plan and all this, and then they fucking leave a trail of fucking pill bottles right to their fucking doorstep. I mean, like, come on.
Oh, I love it.
This city deserves a better class of criminal.
This. The deputies detained the two men inside the Chrysler, Christopher Rachel Jr., 19, and Dave Dobbins, 19. They matched the descriptions of the two robbers seen inside the store, detective said. And this is, it gets even better. They found more evidence on Dobbins' cell phone. He had recorded videos of the suspect in the same room as a bed strewn with pills and clear plastic baggies. Videos all show them handling a white garbage bag near the pills, the same type of bag which the suspects were seen fleeing.
Christopher Hansel and David Gretel, dude.
I know, dude. So these guys literally just have video evidence of them with all the shit. Like, look at all the drugs we got. We robbed this place.
This is actually really common now, though. People basically confessing on social media when they do this type of shit has become increasingly common.
Great.
Like people getting caught fanning out a bunch of money the day after they knock over a fucking ATM or something.
Look at the crime I committed, motherfucker.
Okay.
All right. Good stuff. Good for you.
I mean, the police have to enjoy that. It's like, it makes it easier to solve some cases. Like, who fucking broke into that ATM? Oh, was this dude? He's flashing all the money on Twitter.
UK to close door to non-English speakers and unskilled workers. Government plans to take full control of borders, a disaster for economy and jobs, say industry leaders and labor.
Close them borders, UK.
Britain is to close its borders to unskilled workers and those who can't speak English as part of a fundamental overhaul of immigration laws that will end the era of cheap EU labor in factories, warehouses, hotels, and restaurants. Unveiling its Australian style points system on Wednesday, the government will say it is grasping a unique opportunity to take full control of British borders for the first time in decades and eliminate the distortion caused by EU freedom movement.
People were too free before.
But industry leaders immediately accused the government of an assault on the economy, warning of disastrous consequences with job losses and closures in factories and the high street. Labor and the Liberal Democrats also condemn the plans, while Unison, which represents health workers, said they spell absolute disaster for the care sector.
Basically, everyone's saying the economy relies on a bunch of people from, coming from other countries that earn lower wages to do these jobs. And if you basically stop those people from coming here, who the fuck are going to do those jobs?
Well, you know,
I guess the argument is, oh, we'll pay our own citizens more money to do them.
Right. But that's going to be, you know, you're going to drive, basically, it's a catch-22 because you drive up the cost of consumer goods at that point. And a lot of these factories are going to say, hey, we're going to go to somewhere else where we can still employ this cheaper labor.
Yeah, we're
going
to move to Eastern Europe.
We're
going to
outsource these jobs. We're going to go to an EU country. It might be as easy relatively soon of just going to Scotland, because Scotland actually has another referendum I don't know if referendum is actually the right word there, but they're thinking about once, you know, there was
an independence vote.
Yeah, they're going to have another vote on their own independence because they want to be part of the EU by and large, whereas the UK, of course, has left the EU.
Yeah, has voted and, you know, had several elections. And in the latest election being the reason that it was basically confirmed, because it was like, okay, the Conservatives won yet again. So, I mean, I guess with the immigration system, it says Australia and other countries use point systems. I've heard of that, so I'm not necessarily saying that's bad, but I mean, at the same time, if they're gonna have a labor shortage, like you said, they're probably just gonna do what they do in this country. They're gonna fucking have people come illegally, or they're gonna just fucking outsource it to other countries.
So here's my prediction as far as this goes: this policy is eventually going to give way to a guest worker program, where people are brought in as unskilled laborers as part of like a day laborer kind of thing. Because, you know, other countries that have kind of tried this hardline anti-immigration stance, like Denmark, they end up looking at the economic numbers after a while and being like, oh, shit. Okay.
We need some low-skilled, low-paid labor.
We actually do need
this. Look at
a
country like Japan that doesn't allow a ton of immigration.
Well, even they've actually started to consider, like, we might need to import some cheap workers because we got an aging population. There's no one to do these jobs anymore. We haven't figured out a way to automate all these jobs away yet, so we still kind of need that. So, you know, a lot of these countries that end up having these hardline anti-immigration stances do end up kind of having, like, all right, well, we're going to let people in, but it's just to work.
And I will say,
they don't have a path to citizenship or anything. They're just here to work, and then we send them back.
And I will say, yeah, when we were in London and, yeah, in the UK, I mean, a lot of the people that were working these type of jobs, I mean, some of them were British, but a lot of them are also, you know, people from Eastern Europe and other countries. You saw a lot of people doing those jobs. Like, I guess Eastern Europe for them is like, especially Polish people are like, they're Mexicans, essentially.
Polish or the EU Mexicans?
Yeah, that's what it's, that was my understanding. Are people from Eastern Europe. And they do a lot of movie production there as well, because the costs are lower to build sets and stuff like that.
Let's look at some good old fashioned American corruption, though.
Of course.
State Representative David Nangle used campaign funds to fuel casino gambling habit, prosecutors say. I see no problem with this.
I think that they should name that act Nangling.
I was thinking the same thing, dude. Like, Nangling sounds like someone like touching you inappropriately, like he Nangled him.
Yeah.
No. It's stealing campaign funds.
He Nangled
to gamble.
The funds.
Yeah. It's not a sexual thing.
I see it as a sexual thing, TJ. But
longtime state representative, David Nangle was arraigned Tuesday on more than two dozen charges of alleged fraud dating back to 2014. But his illegal activities may go back at least a decade, federal prosecutors said. This was not a momentary loss of judgment or a technical foul, U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling said at a news conference. This was a systemic pattern of theft and fraud.
Damn, that Western diet's getting to you, TJ.
Prosecutors alleged that Nangle, a 59-year-old Democrat and member of the House Ethics Committee, raided his campaign account of more than $70,000 to sustain his gambling habit, bilked a local bank out of more than $300,000 in loan money he wasn't qualified to receive, and cheated the IRS out of tens of thousands of dollars.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Nangle gambled extensively online and at casinos in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Fell into heavy debt, prosecutors said. He was arrested Tuesday morning at his home in Lowell, and in the early afternoon entered the federal courtroom with his ankles bound. He pleaded not guilty to 28 counts, alleging wire fraud, bank fraud, making a false... You know what? I'm just going to say this guy right now. Make a pro-Trump statement. Just make...
Yeah,
just,
he'll let you off.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, Trump is pardoning motherfuckers like crazy. Just make a pro-Trump statement. Be like, you know what? This is just as bullshit as when the Democrats tried to impeach our great leader, Donald. It doesn't matter that you're a Democrat, too. Just say it. Say it loud enough for Trump to hear it, and you're going to get a fucking pardon. He's just going to, yep, going to commute your sentence. You're free. You know, that's what you got to do
now.
My
opponents have made up these egregious lies. I've never stepped on a casino in my life. Come on.
And if I did, it was just for the buffet.
It was to raise money for orphans in need. Please,
I just wanted some crab legs. That's all.
Please, Mr. President.
I swear.
The Russian witch hunt went too far. I love you.
So we'll see how that plays out, I guess. Boy Scouts of America files for bankruptcy. Hundreds of sexual abuse lawsuits are now on hold. The Boy Scouts of America has filed for bankruptcy, according to a court document filed in Delaware Bankruptcy Court early Tuesday. The youth organization, which celebrated its 110th anniversary on February 8th, listed liabilities of between $100 million and $500 million and estimated assets of $1 billion to $10 billion. The bankruptcy filing comes at a time when the organization faces hundreds of sexual abuse lawsuits, thousands of alleged abuse victims, and dwindling membership numbers. As a result of the filing, all civil litigation against the organization is suspended.
Wait a minute. They've got liabilities between $100 and $500 million, and they've got assets between $1 and $10 billion.
Yep.
And they can... Where? How are they bankrupt?
They're bankrupt, Paul. They're bankrupt. These young boys took an oath. They pledged to be obedient, pledged to support the Scouts, and pledged to be honorable. Many of them are extremely angry that that's not what happened to them, and the Boy Scouts of America did not step up the way they should have, Monez said. The Boy Scouts of America faced hundreds of lawsuits from alleged sexual abuse victims across the country, all of which are now suspended because of the bankruptcy filing.
I wonder why they did it.
Several of the lawsuits allege repeated fondling, exposure to pornography, forced anal or oral sex. In response, the Boy Scouts of America said at the time that they cared deeply about all victims of child abuse and sincerely apologized to anyone who was harmed during their time in scouting.
Well, that makes it better.
Yeah.
That
put a little Band-Aid on your boo-boo.
You're sorry? Oh, okay. That's fine.
They added that they were outraged. There have been times when individuals took advantage of our program to abuse innocent children. We believe victims. We support them. We pay for counseling by a provider of their choice, and we encourage them to come forward. It is the Boy Scouts of America BSA policy that all incidents of suspected abuse are reported to law enforcement, the organization said. Last April, exposed court testimony showed the organization believed more than 7,800 of its former leaders were involved in sexually abusing more than 12,000 children over the course of 72 years.
Well, just a few bad apples.
Monez, who was part of a legal team that won a $18.5 million verdict against Boy Scouts of America for former scout and sexual abuse victim Carrie Lewis in 2010, said Monday that instead of potentially having their day in court, alleged victims who had pending lawsuits will now need to file claims in bankruptcy court. Michael Fowl? I don't know. A Seattle-based attorney whose firm represents 300 alleged victims across the country said the bankruptcy claims process will be decidedly different for those suffering due to the Boy Scouts of America's alleged inaction. They won't have to give depositions involving their life history. Their lives won't be scrutinized, but they lose their right to a jury trial. For a lot of abuse survivors, telling their story in a court of law and forcing the organization to defend their actions can be cathartic. That won't happen with a bankruptcy. Sounds like the Catholic Church should have filed for bankruptcy, too. Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know that bankruptcy was such a shield. Apparently it is.
We're bankrupt.
Oh, shit.
I mean, they're facing...
The jig is up. Bankruptcy. Yeah,
they're facing so many goddamn lawsuits that this is the only practical option. And you see why. It's that it ends all civil fucking litigation against them. So they can go to bankruptcy court, and they're just going to go, oh, we have no money to pay you.
We broke.
And also those depositions and those stories... That's what they really wanted to stop. The money is one thing, but they can just go form a fucking new organization. That doesn't matter. They can have they can fucking have their, you know, Boy Scouts 2.0 with their fresh image of, like, accountability, friendliness, honor. You know, they can do that. They can create that organization or walk away. Like, the Boy Scouts can just be dead. But they're certainly not going to fucking want to pay all these people a bunch of money, and they certainly don't want all their fucking stories because the media is going to run with those stories like, this scout leader abused 300 kids, and they all fucking told on him, and nothing was done. They don't want those stories in the media, so it's easier to say, well, we're bankrupt.
Hey there, Boy Scouts. Bring those muscly arms over here and get yourself a merit badge.
Yeah, I think that was the scout leader. What's that guy's name?
Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert. Herbert. He was a scout
Herbert
leader.
Herbert the pervert.
Yeah, he was a scout leader for many years. Yep.
Yeah, but we'll be keeping our eyes on this story as well. I'm sure that we haven't heard the last of the developments.
Look
in
at
this.
The story here, though. 12,000 Boy Scouts were abused over the decades. So I mean, it just shows you, like,
I mean, that's just
them trying to paint it.
That's
like
a fraction, though, of what I'm sure the total. You know, but, I mean, like, that's just the people who've come forward. There's probably plenty of people out there who just are like trying to put it, you know, in the keep it in the past or whatever. I was about to say put it behind them, but then I'm like,
oh, damn, they're trying to put it.
That wording is no good in this situation. I'm sure there's plenty of abuse victims who just simply haven't come forward because they don't want...
They just don't want to relive it.
Yeah, they don't want to relive the fucking, you know, what happened to
but for
them and all that
the
shit.
The organization, for them to go and say, oh, well, you know, oh, it's horrible, we want to report all this stuff. It's like, yeah, you want to report it now, fucking decades later, but at the time, you guys were obviously content to let systemic rape and abuse just continue and had really no problem with it.
Yeah, this is the same organization, by the way, that for years fought against, like, we can't have no gays in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember they actually won that case.
Right. No gays in scouts, damn it. And, because we're such a morally pure organization. Okay, cool. Sounds great. You sound real pure.
Pedophiles welcome, though.
YouTuber Jake Paul criticized for tweeting, anxiety is created by you.
Who's this fucking idiot?
YouTuber Jake Paul is facing criticism after an apparent motivational Twitter message in which he tweeted, anxiety is created by you, appeared to backfire on Monday.
Because he knows nothing about mental health. He's an idiot. He should just keep his mouth shut.
Paul wrote on Monday, Paul, what you doing?
Yeah, what the fuck, Paul?
Remember, anxiety is created by you. Sometimes you gotta let life play out and remind yourself to be happy and the answers will come.
That's big of you, Paul.
Coming,
I wonder
Paul.
If letting life play out is a little easier when you're some stupid, bubble-headed social media dork that gets millions of dollars for being retarded.
Yeah, the tweets, which since appears to have been deleted. What's all this appears shit? It either was or it wasn't. Was it deleted or not?
Yeah, I hate when they say that and it's like, is it deleted or not?
The tweet, which appears to have been deleted, continued, chill your mind out, go for a walk, talk to a friend.
Anxiety cured.
Wow.
My anxiety is gone now.
If you guys ever feel anxiety again, talk to a friend and go for a walk. Actually, walk and talk with a friend.
But the message quickly earned scorn and ridicule, with Twitter users calling Paul out over insensitive advice on complex mental health issues. All of us getting cured of our anxiety disorders from Jake Paul's tweet tonight, honestly a revolutionary moment.
Dude.
Chose to fight it with sarcasm there.
When you literally have no grasp of grammar... And you still own someone like Jake Paul. That's pretty bad. It's like, I mean, go back and look at that, dude. All of us getting cured of our anxiety disorders from Jake Paul's tweet tonight. ... So I don't understand how punctuation works. Honestly, a revolutionary moment.
No capitalization, no punctuation,
it's
barely
still,
a sentence.
Still destroyed
still
him,
destroys.
And still wrecked him.
Me, oh no, why is Jake Paul trending on Twitter? What insensitive shit did he do now? Jake Paul, anxiety is created by you. me, I'm gonna head out. And it's a SpongeBob. I'm gonna head out. So I
hate these memes more than I hate Jake Paul's statement. Yeah, though.
I think that this tweet actually erased my anxiety. Yeah. So thank you for that. I can't believe in 2020 we have Jake Paul, of all people, telling the masses that mental illness isn't real. I need a nap. I don't really feel like he said that.
He didn't say that. No, that's the
if Jake
take.
Paul and my anxiety were drowning and I could only save one, I'd save Jake Paul because my anxiety is all in my head and I can just go outside and take a walk.
I like that one.
All right. The world after seeing Jake Paul's recent tweet, anxiety rate drops to zero.
Nice.
All right, so here's his rebuttal. Everyone clowning on my tweet, but now it's spreading more awareness about anxiety. I think people are already pretty fucking aware of anxiety, bitch.
It's spreading awareness of your stupid position on anxiety.
Yeah.
You dumb fuck.
Dude, now people like know about anxiety and shit.
Which I didn't even know was a thing till I was 18. What?
Wow.
But had it my whole life and never knew how to deal with it. Shrug. If you think you have it or want to deal with it, try reading this. How to cope with anxiety. 11 simple ways.
Why don't you just direct people to your fucking tweet? Why don't they just read that?
Just go for a walk and talk to your friends. That's all you need to do.
It's created by you.
Anxiety is created by you. I agree. This did create anxiety. My anxiety was created by you. You're not robbing shit. Jack-in-the-box cashier ignores robber's commands, Yakima police say.
Damn. This dude is...
This is a badass motherfucker.
I mean,
that's a BAMF.
Over a fucking Jack-in-the-box till.
Yeah, he's just like...
You know what I mean?
I ain't giving you shit. A Yakima fast food employee wasn't having it when someone tried to rob him last Saturday, according to a police report. Officers were called to Jack-in-the-box on North 1st Street around 1 p.m. for a report of an attempted robbery that went awry for the suspect. The suspect, 37-year-old Damian McCorkle, allegedly walked into the restaurant and ordered some food. A witness said he was wearing a coat with his hands in his pockets as if he was going to pull something out and told the cashier he needed money, police said. Based on statements from witnesses at the restaurant, a police report described the encounter as follows. I'm robbing you, the suspect said. You're not robbing shit, the cashier replied. Yeah, I am. I need the money. I will beat your ass. You want to go outside and handle this? The suspect then left the store.
Wrecked. Dude, what a bad motherfucker, dude.
Oh.
I'm robbing this shit. Guy looks for a gun. He's all like, I ain't doing shit.
You ain't robbing shit, bitch.
When police asked the cashier if he believed the suspect was armed, the cashier said the suspect looked more nervous than he was. McCorkle was arrested a short time later and was identified as the robbery suspect, blah, blah, blah.
Dude, McCorkle needs to be arrested just for having the name McCorkle.
Yeah, he's in trouble when he gets into jail, too.
McCorkle! Who the fuck is McCorkle?
What are you in for?
I tried to rob a Jack in the Box, but the guy threatened to beat me up, so I left.
Whatever, that dude would be like, murder.
I killed 7 people. Woman claims man kidnapped her, forced her to watch Roots to understand her racism.
This is like a plot line from American Horror Story.
This guy said he's actually inspired by that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
I don't know if it's reported in this one, but the guy actually did say he was inspired by American Horror Story.
There's a scene where Delphine LaLaurie, who was like a New Orleans mass murderer who killed a bunch of slaves, is brought back to life. And then Gabourey Sidibe, who's a witch in Coven, ties her to a chair and makes her watch Roots.
Yeah, this guy was actually inspired by that.
Wow.
Police in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, arrested a man after he allegedly kidnapped a woman and forced her to watch Roots, a 1977 TV miniseries about slavery in the United States. Cedar Rapids newspaper, The Gazette, reports Robert Lee No, 52, was arrested Monday. A criminal complaint stated No forced the victim to watch the show, which is a 9-hour historical miniseries about slavery in the U.S. through the post-Civil War era, so she could better understand her racism. The complaint also stated the suspect told the victim he would kill her and spread her body parts across Interstate 380 on the way to Chicago if she did not sit and watch the show.
Yeah, another plot line from that.
The Gazette reports No is charged with first-degree harassment and false imprisonment. So here's what pisses me off about every one of these articles I've read about this story. It never does tell you if this woman came to understand her fucking racism.
Yeah, is she enlightened?
Did it work
now?
Or not? That's what I want to know. Is she still racist? Is she even more racist now that she's been abducted?
I mean, she's
and
probably
forced
more
to watch
racist, dude. She's
by a black dude.
She's probably going to be fucking triggered if she's like a black dude that looks like this. She's gonna be like, wait a minute, I was fucking kidnapped by a guy that made me watch Roots.
I don't know how you could watch Roots and still remain racist, man. I think this guy is onto something.
Yeah, I think we just need to do this to everybody.
Gather up all the racists for re-education.
Yeah, yeah, you're all watching Roots.
Time to a chair in a fucking movie theater.
We give them a racism test before and after watching Roots and see how it goes, you know? I guess there's really not much to say about it, just funny. Football fans in Germany chant Nazis out as racist fan is identified and ejected. Football fans in Germany, soccer fans, united on Sunday to chant Nazis out as a single fan who made monkey noises at a black player was identified and removed from the ground during the third-tier match. In the closing stages of Prussian Monsters match against Wurzburger Kicker. Man, these fucking soccer shit is so lame.
Shitty names. Shitty game.
The fan who was sitting in Munster's main home stand was promptly identified by his fellow supporters and then ejected from the stadium by stewards. He has since been arrested, Munster confirmed. I don't think you should be arrested, but whatever.
Yeah, kicking him out's one.
As repulsive as the monkey noises against players were, the subsequent response from the rest of the spectators were so impressive, the club said in a statement. Not only because they pointed out the perpetrator and made him recognizable for the law for law enforcement, but rather with the unmistakable Nazis out chant and the strong anti-racism stand of the Prussian fans at Monster Rainer. Prussian Munster president Christoph Strasser added, "It is not something that belongs on the soccer field." Yeah, that's right, soccer, bitch. It's not football. Certainly not in our stadium. We don't want and need people like that here. We clearly distance ourselves from such statements, and I apologized, blah, 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 blah. So anyway.
I just think a lot of these racist people didn't get the memo yet. You know what I mean? Like now at this current time is not the time to go out and make monkey noises at a black man. It just isn't the time. You know what I mean?
Ain't gonna work.
50, 60, 70 years ago, that might have flown.
That was just good fun back then.
You know what I mean? But,
but now, not so much.
Yeah, you need to poke your head out into the world and see what's going on. It's just not.
I mean, even recently, maybe this happened 10 years ago, the guy probably wouldn't have got kicked out.
What was he arrested for, by the way?
I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of hate speech laws.
I mean, I know there are very strong like hate speech laws in Germany. So.
I don't necessarily agree with the dude being arrested. I'm fine with him being kicked out.
Well, kicked out is one thing. I mean, that's basically like you paid for a ticket. You did some shit that's against the code of conduct here. Your ass is gone. But I mean, yeah, arrested him. That seems like an extreme step.
Guess what? No more plebs.
Get out of here.
So, hey, plebs, here's what you guys are going to miss. We're going to talk about some of the commutations of sentences by Trump. We're going to look at some crime stories. We got some Harvey Weinstein trial updates. We got a lot of entertainment.
You're
going
to throw up, TJ?
Burping the whole time.
What did you eat,
TJ?
He ate a bunch of nuggets.
It's just this Red Bull.
He ate a bunch of it's your nuggets, dude.
How many nuggets did you have, dude?
10.
He had like 1,000 nuggets.
You had 10 nuggets, TJ, right before the show?
That's what comes, I mean, yeah, you know.
He was bitching, too, that like 10 was too many, but he still ate all 10 of them.
Yeah. We got some entertainment news. We got some fast food news. We got some trailers.
We got some more verps from TJ.
Blip, 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 blip. Whatever.
We got some... We got a story.
Dude, you've done it like 20. Every time you talk, you pretty much like a verb.
You guys are immature as fuck. I just want to point that out.
George Zimmerman is suing Booty Judge.
Eat after the show, TJ. Eat after the show.
So what? Hey, I'm just taking after one of my favorite fictional characters, Rick from Rick and Morty.
All right.
Burping in the midst of every sentence.
Hey, featured here, TJ.
Let's look at some trailers. I'll verp my way through those as well.
Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried.